base. Well, I got a little embarrassed when he brought out the coors, so I brought out my box and my chartreuse lures. Because the weather's nice and the water's right, man, I could fish here all damn night. When you had a bad day and your mind is in a haze, you can clear your head in the salt water base.
What a great track there by my buddy Brandon Key, a relatively new face on the Texas country music scene. Saltwater Bays, you gotta check them out. Brandon Key Band, great stuff there. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show, and I'm Cable Smith, and I am pumped to be here with you this morning as we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got a Lake Texoma fishing report with my buddy Brian Pritchard. Then we're going to talk to Curtis Bishop of Lane Aviation. He gets to shoot hogs in the face for a living. No, not really, just kidding. He's a helicopter hog gunner, and he really does get to take out feral hogs in a helicopter, and he gets paid to do it. How awesome is that? And then we're going to get into a little hunting dog talk with Tom Dawkin. He is an authority on hunting dog training, and I'm looking forward to picking his brain. Couple other orders of business here before we jump right into it. My website, www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com, has every show saved as a podcast. So if you ever miss anything, or you think a buddy might enjoy a specific show or interview, send him over to the website, texasoutdoorsmedia.com. There's also a Texas country music concert calendar right there for you. And remember to keep sending me your best outdoor photos for a chance to win our Photo of the Month contest. You could win a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News, and you also could be entered into our grand prize trophy boar or whitetail hunt, which we'll be giving away at the end of the year. Shifting gears here, I understand that Brian Pritchard of Stripers Inc. is already on the line. Brian, thanks for stopping by this morning. If you would, go ahead and tell us how that Texoma striper bite is looking.
Well, it is May, and it is the time to come fishing. Now is probably one of the best times of the year, and we're catching them hand over fist as fast as you can drop them down. It's kind of crazy up there, especially when I have six people on the boat. I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to put bait on and take fish off and net fish. It gets a little hectic.
Well, hectic sounds like a good thing. What's the biggest fish that y'all have landed recently?
We're catching them 10 to 12 pounds on a fairly consistent basis, about one a trip, one every other trip. A couple of days ago, I had a boat tie up behind me and caught one that was 17 pounds, which, of course, I'm going to take full credit for it because it was on my anchor. It's one that came in a couple of weeks, I guess.
And, Brian, what bait are you having the most success with right now?
Well, we're using shad, and we're going out and anchoring out in about 40 foot of water on the river ledges. And to get the fish to bite, you have to beat the water real hard with a stick and simulate feeding fish on top water. And that'll really draw them up under your boat. You wait a little bit, and before you know it, you get one rod go down. And then when one goes down, they all go down, and all chaos breaks loose.
Just one of the tricks of the trade, huh? Tips from an expert.
That's what draws them in, simulates those fish feeding on top water, and that will work for any fish that has a surface bite.
So the striper bite is on, baby. What about the catfish guides? What have you been hearing from those guys?
We've been catching several catfish at the cleaning docks. Now is one of the times of the year where a lot of the catfish get drawn under the cleaning dock. And, you know, catfish, they're not like striper. They're a little bit more finicky. And you have to fish for them while they're biting. You can't just go out and make them bite on a daily basis. But when we get them when they're biting, we catch about 15 to 20 of them at our cleaning dock while I'm cleaning fish. So they're starting to turn on too.
And have you heard anything from the crappie anglers out there in your neck of the woods?
I know the guys at my boathouse fish for crappie a lot, and they said 25 just the other day just sitting around the dock fishing for them. But
Brian, thanks for coming on this morning and giving us our Lake Texoma fishing report. Everybody, be sure to check out Brian at stripersinc.com. We'll do it again soon, man. Thanks a lot.
Sounds great, Cable. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with a guy who gets paid to gun down feral hogs out of a helicopter. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Ranch.
Let me be set free. I may run with the devil, I may run with the devil, I may run with the devil, but he's never catching up to me.
Sand Bass and Guide Service provides the most action-packed fishing trips in North Texas. Guide Bob LaMarche specializes in sandies and stripers on Lake Louisville and sandies on beautiful Lake Ray Roberts. Bob provides all the tackle and cleans and bags your fish. Sand Bass fishing can be non-stop action and is ideal for getting kids out on the water. Sand Bass and Guide Service offers full and half-day trips. Want to beat the Texas heat? Book a night trip. Call Bob LaMarche at 469-328-7706 or check him out at www.sandbassguide.com. That's sandbassguide.com. Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising, so let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. Game Guard's vent back shirts are offered in 7 great colors and perform like no others. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
Outdoorsmen are always looking for the best way to prepare our meats, and that's why you should check out Smoke & Tex. Smoke & Tex builds fully electric, portable, stainless steel ovens that are built to last. We feature amazing customer service with an industry-best 2-year warranty. Visit us at www.smokeandtex.com for the easiest way to gently cook moist and tender brisket, ribs, chicken, fish, and wild game. Prep the food, load the oven, add wood, set the temperature, and walk away. The static air environment locks in the flavor for you. Call 888-922-1511 or visit us at smokeandtex.com and tell them you heard about it on the Lone Star Outdoor Show for an exclusive special.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas' oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Hey, Captain Keith from The Wizard and Deadliest Catch. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
All right, Texas, welcome back to this morning's presentation. Cable Smith riding shotgun with you. And before I introduce our next guest, I wanted to let you know that the first person to email me, the only four-time Bassmaster Classic champion, will receive a 5-pack from Spit and Fire Jigs, one of our proud sponsors. Their jigs have landed 2 Texas Sharelunkers. These are the real deal. You'll get the hybrid, wood, finesse, football, and screwball jig heads. So email me, the only 4-time Bassmaster Classic champion. Send it to CableWaco at Yahoo.com. That's CableWaco at Yahoo.com. Hey, I don't go anywhere without at least one of each of those jigs in my tackle box, and you shouldn't either. Check out the website. Do yourself a favor. Go to www.spitandfirejigs.com. And now, without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce my next guest this morning. He's a man who actually gets paid to gun down feral hogs out of a helicopter. Curtis Bishop of South Texas's Lane Aviation. Curtis, I know that every outdoorsman out there listening this morning is going to be living vicariously through your tales. Thanks for joining the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
The pleasure is all mine. Now, you work for a South Texas aviation company. where gunning down feral hogs out of a helicopter is just a regular day at the office for you. How much fun is that?
Oh, it is a blast. I mean, it's nothing better.
And would you say that that is your favorite part about your job?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it is a kick in the rear, I tell you.
So how long have you been a helicopter hog gunner?
I've been doing it for about 4 years.
Well, it sounds like 4 years of fun to me, man. So y'all usually are hired by landowners who are so fed up with the destruction caused by feral hogs to their land and crops that they eventually turn to Texas Parks and Wildlife for a special permit, and then they call on you guys, right?
Correct.
Describe some of the firsthand devastation that you've seen caused by feral hogs.
Oh, we've been over cornfields and milo fields, you know, 200 to 250-acre fields, and in some instances, two-thirds of it is just completely destroyed, you know, just knocked down, and they don't eat a lot of it. They just knock it down mainly and, you know, eat just a little bit and move on and just continue on, you know, destroying.
And the irony to me is that most of these stupid animal rights organizations like PETA and the Humane Society, lots of those folks are vegetarians. And you know what? If we don't protect their crops, they don't have anything to eat. Talk about ungrateful, huh?
Yeah, we do have some people, you know, that complain that it's, you know, not good to kill them the way we do. You know, it's cruel, inhumane, but, you know, you've got to do something to get rid of them. That, and using a helicopter seems to be the most efficient way to, you know, control them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no getting rid of them. You can only hope to contain them.
Right, right. They're talking about trying to develop some type of birth control that, you know, would, or A&M's trying to develop some kind of birth control that you could put out and feed, you know, that would do something, but I don't know if that would ever, you know, work or not.
Well, that's a cute little thought there. I mean, the only problem is A&M going to give away the birth control and the feed that you're going to have to put out to dupe the hogs into eating the birth control? I mean, the whole premise is just stupid, unless they're getting government funding for that, which we know probably isn't going to happen. And I guarantee you that PETA and the Humane Society aren't going to contribute a wooden nickel to that cause. So in my opinion, that's pretty much a moot point, which is why your job is necessary. Anyway, Curtis, so after y'all get a call from a landowner, you guys put a helicopter on a trailer and head on out to the property, right?
No, we fly straight from our destination here.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And you're always with a licensed pilot?
Correct.
Okay, so once you guys arrive at the site, about how high up are you when you're actually gunning down the feral hogs?
We're flying anywhere from 25 to 30 feet above the ground.
Okay, and Curtis, what is your preferred weapon and caliber to take out feral hogs?
I use a Remington Model 870 shotgun with double-aught buck. It's a pump.
Best pump ever made, man. Actually, that's my waterfowl gun of choice. I beat the crap out of that thing all the time, and it just keeps on rocking and rolling. So I assume you take your plug out of your gun for these expeditions, huh?
Correct.
Nice. So, Curtis, once the hogs actually hear or see you guys coming, they scatter like wildfire, right?
That's true. They're moving on, and they're running as fast as they can run.
I mean, it's hard enough shooting at a moving target, and now you factor in that you're actually moving.
Right.
How much lead do you actually have to factor into a shot?
I normally shoot about 6 inches in front of them, and by the time the movement, you know, of the helicopter and the movement of them, it normally hits them about right behind the head or center of the back.
Okay.
It'll break them down.
And Curtis, what is your accuracy rate as far as the percentage of shots that actually connect with a hog?
Oh, I'm probably shooting about 85%.
I knew it. I knew you guys were keeping stats. But an 85% accuracy rate out of a moving helicopter is impressive either way. And so I'm assuming you had a background in hunting or some other kind of firearms training that led Lane Aviation to say, hey, Curtis, you're our guy. You are our helicopter hog gunner.
Yes, I did. I do a lot of hunting, a lot of bird hunting, and my boss, he just came to me and he said, "We got hogs." He said, "You want to try to shoot some?" I said, "Well, let's go." And he liked the way I shoot, so he just sort of chose me as his gunner.
And now, is your boss also your pilot?
Yes, my boss is the pilot.
Well, I'm sure that you guys have a pretty good rapport at this point. So do y'all listen to music while you're doing this?
We're normally talking to one another on the radios, on the headset radios, discussing, you know, which way they're moving and, you know, trying to keep lined up on them and watching power lines and, you know, different obstructions that are out there, you know, because you get wrapped up in it and it can get, you know, dangerous at times.
Mm-hmm.
Especially around these, you know, power lines and stuff that they, you know, say they tend to head for the woods, and you know, the woods are have your power lines and stuff around them, and going to, you know, barns and stuff like that.
Well, two sets of eyes is better than one.
That's for sure.
Now you guys are what, around 30 miles south of Houston?
South of Houston, mm-hmm.
In Rosenberg, Texas.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's right there around the Piney Woods region, but y'all are mostly gunning in open fields and croplands, right?
Field crop, yes, sir. Milo and rice and corn fields.
So then I assume your strategy would be to go in the mornings and try to catch the hogs moving back towards the cover of the woods, right?
Normally we try to get out there right at daybreak whenever they're doing their damage and when it's, you know, still pretty cool, and try to, you know, get them before they hit the big brush and take cover, you know, for cooler times.
And what's the most hogs that you've killed in one session?
I've shot 36 in one run.
Sweet.
That's before, you know, they start hitting the woods, and, you know, if you can get them while they're out, you know, in the wide open, you can really clean their plow that way.
Uh-huh.
But if there's brush lines and stuff around, you know, they, once you start shooting, well, they start scattering like a covey of quail, and you just sort of got to head them off and, you know, pick and choose which ones you're after.
And how do you determine which ones you're after?
I try to get the biggest ones out of the pack that I can, because they're the breeders, and, you know, your young ones, they're going to come up being breeders, but, you know, if you get the bigger ones out of the way, you have a longevity time of, you know, the smaller ones, you know, coming up to breed.
Mm-hmm.
So we normally try to pick out the bigger of the hogs and get them out of the way.
And when you're actually up in the air, do you have time to differentiate between a boar and a sow, or do you just kind of say, hey, there's a big one, let's get them?
I just say, there's a big hog, and let's go, and we drop down and, you know, go after it.
We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll ask Curtis, in his 4 years of helicopter hog gunning, what's the biggest hog that he's ever killed? All that and much more when we come back. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
So upset, nervous wreck, can't believe you said goodbye.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my family friend, Jerry Malzahn, over at Malzahn Landscape. Malzahn Landscape has been serving North Dallas, University Park, and Fort Worth for over 30 years and has done some of the finest landscapes in North Texas. Jerry currently has 200 beautiful specimens of red oaks, cedar elms, live oaks, and crepe myrtles that would make wonderful additions to any yard. For estate grounds maintenance or installation, call the premier landscape company in North Texas. The choice is simple, Malzahn Landscape. Call Jerry at 972-567-1950. That's 972-567-1950. Today.
I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my buddy Steve Pebley over at Cooper Lake Guide Service. Fabulous state parks and lodging combined with almost no fishing pressure or boat traffic has caused Cooper Lake to become one of the best hybrid and white bass destinations in Texas. With over a decade of experience on Cooper, Steve knows the lake like the back of his hand. So to learn lake info, see videos and pictures, and learn Steve's best hotspots and waypoints, go to www.cooperlakeguide.net. Or to book a one-of-a-kind fishing trip with my buddy Steve Pebley, call 214-240-0801. That's 214-240-0801. All right, outdoorsmen, time you learned about WTHO. WTHO specializes in the best free-range, low-fence, and no-fence hunts in West Texas. In addition to spring turkey and monster audad, we're now booking for corporate and group whitetail hunts near El Dorado. We also feature premier hunts for javelina, mule deer, exotics, and mountain lions. Call Mike McKinney at 915-328-0645 to find out about early booking specials. That's 915-328-0645, or visit www.westtexashuntorg.com.
Come experience the Beef Jerky Outlet by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland. We carry the best jerkies, 8 different flavors of Sunland peanut butter, and a wide range of hot sauces and delicious salsas. Ever tried deep-fried peanuts? They are so good you can eat the whole shell. We also have gourmet Wisconsin cheeses available to sample. You can also enjoy our edible crickets, worms, and scorpion suckers. So let the outdoorsman in you experience the Beef Jerky Outlet for yourself. Check out our website at www.dallasjerky.com. Beef Jerky Outlet, located by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland.
The Wyo Ranch Steakhouse combines an elegance and southern hospitality reminiscent of their famous South Texas ranch. I've had the signature buffalo filet, hands down the best steak I've ever eaten. Featuring a full menu of steak, seafood, and wild game, this is the steakhouse for the outdoorsman. Located in Dallas's historic West End District, call 214-744-3287 or visit them online at www.wyoranchsteakhouse.com. Tell Tony you heard about them on the range and get 15% off your meal. Wyo Ranch Steakhouse, the official steakhouse of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Down the road I go, forever onward I know, forever onward I'll go, forever searching.
Great stuff there from Mike McClure, Down the Road I Go. Cable Smith here welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. And I've still got Curtis Bishop of Lane Aviation on the line. Curtis has a job that every outdoorsman should be envious of. He gets to gun down feral hogs out of a helicopter, and he gets paid to do it. For anyone out there that thinks that that is just wrong or just so terrible that someone would fly a helicopter and shoot feral hogs, well, guess what? They do millions and millions of dollars in crop and land destruction. They are a nuisance, they are an invasive species, and their population needs thinning out. And that's where my man, Curtis Bishop of Lane Aviation, comes in. Curtis, before the break, you mentioned that the most hogs you'd ever taken out in one run was 36. Now tell me about the biggest boar that you've killed to date.
Shot one, it was 460-some-odd pounds.
Wow.
And had about 4-inch cutters on him.
Man, that is a lot of bacon. So did you get a Euro mount done of this boar?
I've got the head hanging on my barn, to be blunt. Just the skull. Uh-huh. The skull is hanging on my barn. Uh-huh. I hunt with dogs as well, and I've got them hanging all over my barn. It's more or less a conversation piece.
And so do you actually train the dogs yourself?
Yes, I do.
Oh, wow, Curtis. I had no idea that you were a hog dogger, too.
Yes, I am. I shoot them by helicopter and by a dog.
Do you do it the traditional way and run in there with a knife and stick them?
I take every one of them out with a knife.
Dang, Curtis, that is something that I've been wanting to do forever. So I might end up inviting myself down to hunt with you sometime soon, buddy.
It's an adrenaline rush.
That's something I've always wanted to do. Actually, some of the TDHA guys, Texas Dog Hunters Association guys, invited me to come down on a hunt sometime this summer.
It's a lot of fun. I've been doing it for about 15 years, and it's just a blast. Watch a good dog work, you know.
So what do you run, blackmouth curs and then pit bull for catch dog?
Yeah, I've got 2 pit bulls. I've got, I don't know how many blackmouth curs. I've got Catahoulas. And I've got an Argentine Dogo, which is also a catch dog, and they make real good catch dogs.
Yeah, I've heard that about the Argentine Dogo.
They're a little bit more long-winded. They don't have such a short lung capacity like a pit bull does.
Right.
They can cover a lot more country than pit bull.
And how many dogs do you typically run at one time?
I normally turn out around 5 bay dogs, and I'll run 2 catch dogs on a four-wheeler or behind horseback.
Okay, Curtis. Shifting gears back to the helicopter hog gunning. And I had no idea that you were a hog dogger. It's actually very fascinating. But back to your day job. What county have you seen the worst swine infestation in?
Well, we're in Fort Bend, and it's tremendous damage here. You can go on down into Lavaca County and It's basically about the same. The four surrounding counties here, Lavaca, Fort Bend, Brazoria County is real bad. Harris County has got a bad infestation with them. I mean, they're hiring trappers to come out and trap. That's more or less the Piney Woods, the Harris County area, and they're just coming out wreaking havoc in these. You know, the people are coming into the hogs domain and building, you know, the people are building houses and they're in the hogs domain and they're just coming in ripping up the yards. And I mean, it's amazing how much.
Oh, yeah. Yards. And even more recently, they've been causing a lot of problems on golf courses, tearing them up as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And to most of the landowners that hire you guys to come thin out the feral hog population also want you to help control the predator populations.
Yes, they do.
And so if you guys are in the air and a coyote pops out, you'll go ahead and take him out too.
Yes, Yeah, we'll pop the coyote as well.
And do they ever call you guys out specifically for predator control?
We haven't been called out just for predator control. It's basically just hog control.
Okay. Well, what's the largest number of predators that you've taken out in a specific hog gunning session?
Oh, while hunting hogs, probably three or four coyotes.
And Curtis, there is some legislation that's going to be proposed in the House coming up in the 2011 session that would allow Texas landowners to sell helicopter hog hunts in an attempt for them to recoup some of the money they lose due to feral hog destruction on an annual basis. Your thoughts on opening this up to all Texas landowners?
I guess it's a good idea. You know, it gives them a chance to get up and see what kind of damage the hogs are doing to their property. And, you know, I think it's a fairly good idea.
Well, Curtis, I really appreciate the time this morning.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, the pleasure has been all mine. And I guess until they open up these helicopter hog hunts to all landowners, your average Joe, like myself, and probably most of our listeners, will just have to continue to live vicariously through your adventures. But before I let you go here, if you're really serious about letting me tag along on one of your hog dogging trips, I'm dead set on taking you up on my self-invite.
I'm more than willing to take, you know, somebody with me anytime. I take a lot of young boys that are in high school that's coming up and sort of mentor them and, you know, trying to get them to keep our sport alive, you know. They're trying to shut us down, you know, from hunting with dogs. And I'm trying to keep these young fellas coming into the picture and keep the tradition alive, you know.
Well, Curtis, I don't have to tell you that we're on the same team here. You know, what you're doing, taking youngsters out in the outdoors, and what I'm doing, trying to educate and somewhat entertain. You and I both are trying to ensure the preservation and progression of the outdoor lifestyle that we both hold so dear. And my goodness, as far as hunting with dogs is concerned, this isn't some fad that came about in the last 200 or even 500 years. For as long as man has domesticated wolves, basically, he has trained them to help him gather food. That was their sole purpose. That was the only reason they were domesticated. And now fast forward to present day, and whether your hunting dog sleeps at the foot of your bed, like mine sometimes, or whether he stays in a kennel, like a lot of other people's, we are not asking them to do something that isn't in their blood. They love to do it, and in most cases, they want to do it.
No, they're bred to do it, you know, and if they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. You know, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, I'm a member of the Texas Dog Hunters Association, and, you know, we carry a pretty good wallop at the White House, you know, trying to keep our, like I said, tradition alive. And how much longer it'll withstand, we'll be able to do it, I don't know, but I hope we can keep it going. And
well, just like you mentioned, Curtis, it's all about getting the youngsters involved and passionate about hunting with dogs, because ultimately, they are the future. And whether you hunt foxes with beagles like the 19th century English sportsman, whether you're after quail with Britneys or ducks with labs or hogs with pit bulls and blackmouth curs, we're all in the same boat. And that is why the TDHA, for those of y'all that don't know, the Texas Dog Hunters Association, that's why that group is so important. It's like the NRA, but for hunting dog owners. Everyone that owns a hunting dog needs to be a part of that organization.
We did a food for the hungry here back in March, I do believe, and we turned in a bunch of hogs to feed the hungry. And that was a real nice turnout. You know, I think we caught a little over 20,000, no, it was 30,000 pounds of pork for the hungry, which was a very good success rate.
Talk about hunting for a great cause. That's a lot of food to help feed the hungry. Curtis, thanks again, man.
You bet.
Let's plan on visiting again after I take you up on that hog dogging offer.
Okay, we'll do that.
Take care, buddy.
You bet.
Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed that, because I'll tell you what, that was a lot of fun for me visiting with that good old boy, Curtis Bishop of Lane Aviation. Good times for sure. And it's funny how we kind of got off track there and got into hunting dogs while we were supposed to be talking about helicopter hog hunting, because our next guest is one of the nation's leading hunting dog trainers, Tom Dawkins of Dawkins Oak Ridge Kennels. We'll be right back with more Hunting Dog Talk. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. Where the quail gonna fly to? Where will the rabbits run now? I watch them tearing all the hell what used to be my church. Tearing up my grandpa's land. Cable Smith here to tell every outdoorsman about Munster Natural Dog Foods. Munster Natural Dog Food is made up of a 5-grain balance of carbohydrates instead of just being made from 1 or 2 grains like other dog foods. Munster includes the necessary antioxidants and omega-3 and 6 fatty acids essential for your hunting buddy's health. Munster also has a full lineup of top-notch horse, fish, and deer feeds. So to locate a retailer near you, visit www.munstermilling.com. For my lab maverick, I choose the Texas tradition that's tried and true, Munster Natural Dog Foods. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need 1 or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Largemouth bass fishing on Lake Fork is a Texas tradition, and Tim Walker of Tim Walker's Guide Service has been guiding on Lake Fork for over a decade. He can put you on a trophy largemouth or a full stringer of crappie. He also offers night trips on Fork and summertime stripers and hybrids in Lake Tewaukin. Stop by his Lake Fork bait shop located at 5190 North FM 17 and say hello, or check out the website at timwalkersguideservice.com. For the fishing trip you won't soon forget, give Tim a call at 817-999-7876.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com, or call 940-391-3669 today.
Listen up, anglers, because you need to know about the unbeatable prices at Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Moe's is a web-based tackle supply company that offers deep discounted prices. Lures, hooks, flies, freshwater, and saltwater, Moe's has it covered. Our goal at Moe's Tackle Shop is to provide super service, top shelf quality, and great prices. Check us out at moestackleshop.com and enter the promo code LoneStarOutdoorShow to save an additional 10% on your order. That's www.moestackleshop.com.
Ever want to ditch that Texas summer heat and go on the trip of a lifetime? Rogue Excursions is currently trying to fill limited spots for the 2010 summer season. Sportsmen can see Alaska firsthand, take advantage of the plentiful fisheries and breathtaking views, hook up with all 5 Pacific salmon species, battle giant halibut and ling cod, and other native species. Located in beautiful Sitka, our operation is designed to be the trip of a lifetime. Visit us at www.rogueexcursions.com or call Captain Cameron Clifton personally at 817-994-2254 and ask for the range specials.
Hey, but I am missing you as the sun is setting on me. I think I'll crank up my pickup for San Antonio. And there ain't enough dance halls in Texas to keep my heart and mind occupied. I'm trying it all the time. Hey, I'm out there every night.
All right, one of my favorite range artists, Roger Craker, bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm Cable Smith. And speaking of Roger, he'll be out at the DU Sporting Expo next weekend at the Gaylord Texan. He'll be playing on Friday, along with Reckless Kelly. They'll both be part of the festivities. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be out there all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 to 5, so feel free to come by the PA booth and say hi. Also, tons of your favorite outdoor personalities will be there. And our next guest, Tom Dawkin of Dawkin's Oak Ridge Kennels, will also be out there. He's one of the country's most respected dog trainers. And Tom will put on a seminar each day. So head on out there and pick his brain, as he'd love to talk hunting dogs with you. Tom, thanks for joining the show this morning. I guess you're about ready to head on down to Texas, huh?
I couldn't be more excited to get down in Texas, even though it's 70 degrees up here, and I'm sure it's in the 90s down there.
Oh, man, Tom. It might actually be in the hundreds by the time you get here next week. But, yeah, the DU Sporting Expo, man, it is going to be awesome. It's not just for waterfowlers. There's something there for everybody. Tom, tell me a little bit about what you're going to be doing at the DU Sporting Expo.
Yeah, we're going to be doing one every day during the whole show. And, you know, there's going to be not only myself, but there's going to be other dog trainers there. And kind of the neat part about that is you get one guy's perspective, and then you're going to, you know, be able to sit on other seminars too. And what a great way to get a lot of knowledge about working your retrievers.
Well, Tom, I'd like to ask you a few questions myself on retriever X's and O's this morning. What's the single most important thing you look for when selecting a pup for a gun dog? And does that differ when you consider the fact that the dog will also be a companion and a house dog and not just a hunting dog?
Yeah, you know, I would say the majority of our clients nowadays, probably in that 95%, you know, their hunting dog is their family dog too, so there is some things to consider. Number one, you know, anybody who's looking for a sporting breed, you know, regardless if it's a retriever or what other sporting breed you may be looking at, bloodlines is really, really important. And from a talent standpoint, I really want a dog that has the natural ability to begin with. Obviously, it makes everybody's job easier. And I'm going to look for some field trial champions, maybe some amateur field champions, and maybe master hunter or senior hunters in the title. And a lot of people go, well, you know what, I'm really not looking for a field trial dog. And what I'm going to tell people there is, you really, what you want is the natural ability that comes from having, you know, that higher test breeding. But what you get from it is you get the intelligence factor too. So it's not just natural ability, but those dogs, really, the intelligence has got to be there for them to achieve what they've achieved. And that, you know, that goes for learning how to come, sit, stay, heel, down, and catching on to what you want quicker. So I always tell everybody, you know, make sure you get good bloodlines to begin with, because really you're looking at a 12-year investment. So the little extra you're going to spend up front is really minute over that period of time.
Oh, I know firsthand about that. You know, I spent $300 on a dog when I was 20 years old and in college, and I love Maverick to death, but he blew out both of his ACLs, his right one at 1.5 and his left one at 3, and thank God for the good Dr. Turner and Maverick's full recovery. But I tell you what, my $300 dog very quickly became a $3,000 dog. So yeah, you can bet I'll be doing something a little bit different next time around.
Take a gamble on as good a bloodline as you can, because, you know, once you get that dog, you know, you are going to be emotionally attached, and 12 years is a long ways.
Yeah, Mav turns 8 this summer, and I figure he's got one or two good seasons left before I have to put him out to pasture. Just kidding, Mav. At what age should a pup be introduced to water, and subsequently, when do you add a dead bird to the equation?
I'll get a puppy in the water as early as 7 weeks, but you know, that's got to be relative to what the temperature of the water is. If it's not warm enough, I'm not putting him in, because you can only imagine taking that puppy to the water for the first time and it's freezing cold. You only get one chance to introduce the water right. So I'm going to wait till everything warms up really well. I want a real hard bottom and really shallow that gradually gets a little bit deeper. And I'm going to take the puppy for a good walk, get him kind of hot, and then I'm going to go wade in the water. You know, that introduction's got to be on his terms. I mean, you can't never pick the puppy up if he doesn't want to go in. Don't ever pick him up and set him in the water, because now it's a forced situation. So it's got to be gradual. It's got to be easy. Got to be on their terms. And I'm going to put my knee boots on, or my hip boots or waders. I'm going to walk out. Let him follow me. If you have an older dog that the puppy is really kind of taken to, having that older dog out, you know, to kind of give that comfort level is also a good way. In reference to birds, you know, I'll start my puppies out on wings when they're 7 weeks old and let them pick up a wing. Just let them carry it a little bit. Never want them to have them pick it up and take off with it and chew it up. But I do want to open that instinct up when they are young. And once they'll grab that wing and pick it up and want to, you know, kind of possess it a little bit, I'll take and I'll tie that wing. This is after I've done that, and they're aggressive. I'll tie that wing on a rod, and I'll scamper it along the ground, and I'll let them chase and catch. And what that does is that stimulates to that puppy that that is a cripple, and he's chased it down and he's caught it. And that opens up those two instincts. Number one, you know, the taste of this thing in his mouth, and it opens up that instinct to chase and catch. And I don't want to do that with a live bird because I can control that wing and make sure that nothing negative would happen to the puppy. So there's lots of little critical things that you can do. And, you know, if you do them right, you're in good shape. If you go overboard and go too quick, you can set yourself back so far that it really makes things difficult.
Once again, we're visiting with renowned dog trainer Tom Dawkin of Dawkin's Oak Ridge Kennels. Tom, you've had your kennel up and running for quite some time now. At what point did you realize that you wanted to breed and train dogs for a living?
You know, we've been at it for, you know, over 35 years now, and I got my first dog kind of, you know, really on the same lines that you did. I got mine when I was probably about 18 years old. Really didn't grow up in a hunting family. But all my friends hunted and hunted with dogs with them, and I knew I wanted to get a dog, but was really heavily involved in sports. And when I got out of school, I knew I was going to get one. Got my first dog, and I just started running some trials, just as you know, a way to work my dog and learn how. And I look back on it now, and knowing what I knew back then when I started out, that dog was really good because it turned out in spite of me. It just became, you know, it became something where it's a lifestyle. It's tied into hunting. Every day is different when you're training. Every dog is different, so the challenge is really great. Very gratifying, I mean, to take a dog in that really has nothing when it comes in, and then the finished product when they go home. And the neat part is that you're dealing with people who are into the same thing that you are. Your customers are into hunting. They're family dogs. And so you have a lot in common with your customers. And you live the lifestyle, too. I love to hunt. I love working with my own dogs and hunting as well. And it's kind of amazing because if you do this every day, but, you know, when duck hunting comes, or we do a lot of pheasant hunting up here, you still feel like a kid in the candy store every time you go out. And you know, right. I'm really lucky that it's still special.
Tom, you mentioned that most of your clients in this day and age have you train their dog as a companion that happens to moonlight as their hunting buddy, and that's the case with Lee and Tiffany Lukowski of the Outdoor Channel. They're actually going to be guests on the show here in a couple weeks, and we were visiting a few days ago, and they mentioned to me that you were in charge of training their new Labrador Retriever.
Yep. The puppy's name is Tank. Just went home the day before yesterday. So Lee and Tiffany were here, and we had the puppy started on a few little obedience commands and introduced him. And the neat part about this puppy is he's going to be trained to hunt for shed antlers. And, you know, they are the whitetail experts. And we've been training dogs to hunt shed antlers also. So that's what this puppy's going to do. We're going to teach this pup to do a little bird hunting as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And hey, that dog's going to have a good life. We were on the tour bus with him just a day and a half ago. And if there's doggy heaven, he's in doggy heaven. There's no doubt about it.
No kidding. What's the best way to teach a dog to have a soft mouth? You know, some of the old-timers that I've hunted with tell me stories about how they used to wrap barbed wire around their training birds in order to condition their dogs to have a soft mouth. Is that a training method that is now obsolete?
Well, the mouth, and that's a good question because, you know, we're really training a predator here to, you know, get something that he really would want to have, bring it back in, you know, and not rough it up. And even if your dog has a nice mouth when it's young, they will have a tendency, the more birds they hunt and the more cripples they chase down, will have the tendency to get harder if you don't address it early on. And we put all of our dogs that, you know, when they come in for, you know, our second program through force fetching. And force fetching basically, if you want to just boil it down, it's teaching the dog to pick something up when you tell them to pick it up, not when you're, you know, when it's just a game. They have to hold whatever object you told them to pick up. They have to walk with it. They have to carry it. And what happens is when they learn these drills, they learn that early on when we did play training when they're puppies, hey, this is fun, which that's what we're going to do. And then as we get further along in training, they go, yeah, this is fun. But you know what? There's a certain way that I'm expected to do this. And if I see a dog getting, you know, mouthy on a bird, if he's gone through that program, there will be some discipline. But then the dog understands, okay, yeah, I know, I'm being hard on this, and I know I'm not supposed to, and we can correct it. Versus if you don't put a dog through that type of training, and he starts mouthing, and he gets some discipline, he might just say to you, well, you go pick up the next ones, because, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Really, it all boils down to the dog knows that, hey, I love to do this, but this is my job also, and there are certain ways I have to do it.
Well, Tom, you mentioned discipline, and that's a huge part of bringing any dog into the home or taking them out into the field. Now, as far as enforcing that discipline, do you prefer a shock collar or a quick wrap to the side of the dome?
The remote collar nowadays, it's such a great tool. I mean, it's way different tool than it was 15 years ago. You know, and I've been training forever, and the equipment back, 15, 20 years ago was really crude. One level only, and I'm talking like, wow. And you really couldn't use that equipment on anything but the toughest of the toughest. Mm-hmm. And realistically, about 98% of the dogs we train are not that. They're just not that tough. So you couldn't use the equipment. Nowadays, the technology is so good on these remote collars that, you know, the brand that I use Sport Dog brand, it has 8 levels. So level 1, if you put your fingers on the contact points and I press the button, you'd go, you better see if you turned it on. Because it's so light, you can't feel it. Mm-hmm. And then you just gradually, as you introduce the collar, you just work up one level at a time. And then you go, oh, okay. And then the first indication that your dog even notices it, you might see him, he might blink or his ear might twitch. So, I mean, it's that light. And the neat part about it is as you work up, the dog will tell you where his discipline level is. And so now these remote collars are just like having a leash, you know, a half-mile long leash or a mile, whatever model you get, mm-hmm. without having the inconvenience of the leash. I mean, it just, there's no reason now, whether you have just a pet or a hunting dog, not to have the equipment. So it's that far advanced.
Tom, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to put you on the Smoke and Text hot seat for a quick run-and-gun round of questions. We'll also talk about color and if that has anything to do with what's between a dog's ears. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. All right, guys and gals, spring turkey is finally here, and if you're like me, you're looking for a great way to show off that trophy gobbler. With a full line of turkey fan mounting kits, Texas European Mounts has you covered. From their traditional oak plaques to a truly Texan mesquite plaque, there's something for everyone. So whether you're a hobbyist or a full-time taxidermist, Texas European Mounts has what you need. Check them out at www.texaseuropeanmounts.com or give them a call at 940-631-4334. That's www.texaseuropeanmounts.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSE. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Largemouth bass are king in Texas, and that's why anglers are choosing Spit-N-Fire jigs. Check out our user-friendly website at www.spitandfirejigs.com to view an extensive selection of skirts that you can match with one of our detailed hybrid, wood, finesse, football, or screwball jig heads. The attention to detail and realistic eyes on our hybrid jig make it the most versatile jig in any angler's tackle box. To date, Spit-N-Fire jigs are responsible for landing 2 Texas Sharelunkers. Visit spitandfirejigs.com to order your go-to jig today. Spit-N-Fire jigs, feel the fire.
The Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo is coming to the Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center in Grapevine, May 28th through 30th, and everything outdoors will be there. Outdoor gear for ducks, whitetail, turkey, fishing, and more. Seminars from outdoor experts, wildlife art exhibits, retriever demonstrations, and much more. Free parking available. Be there May 28th through 30th at the Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center for the Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo, sponsored by Heavy Shot and Ford Trucks. To learn more, visit expo.ducks.org.
Every sportsman needs a gun safe to protect his gun collection, and that's why I called my buddies at ANC Gun Safes. ANC is a family-owned business that prides itself on having the best customer service policy in the industry. ANC Gun Safe specializes in Winchester safes as well as new lightly scratched or dented safes that they sell to outdoorsmen at huge discounted prices. They also guarantee safe shipping on every order. Call Adam at 817-228-1184 or check out their great selection of gun safes at www.acsafes.com. That's acsafes.com.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they'll never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You are guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip will be free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give him a call at 903-815-1609 to set up your next fishing trip.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range, where we are talking hunting dogs this morning. This segment is proudly brought to you by Munster Natural Dog Food and Tioga Retrievers. Check out Tioga Retrievers at www.tiogaretrievers.com. It is the premier place to send your hunting buddy in North Texas, so be sure to check them out. We've still got Tom Dawkin on the line of Dawkins Oak Ridge Kennels. Tom, before the break, I mentioned that we were going to talk about dog color and if that has anything to do with how good of a retriever or how smart your dog actually is. As an owner of a chocolate lab myself, I've for years taken offense to those who say, oh, chocolates are just stupid when compared to blacks and yellows. So is there any validity to that claim?
Well, there isn't. And what it really boils down to is bloodlines. And just so you know how that happened, when I first started training, it was all black Labradors. That's what was there. And then gradually we would start to get a few yellows, and yellows kind of had that knock for a while. And the thing was, you're talking a recessive gene. If somebody back in the day said, well, we want yellow puppies, the easiest way to achieve that is yellow to yellow. And they really weren't concerned about good bloodlines. They just wanted a color. Anytime you are just concerned with something other than good bloodlines, you are going to produce what you're going to produce. So now, you know, the chocolates, yellows, blacks, I mean, and you can get a black that's not, you know, that good either. But back in the day, there were very few chocolates, and to produce chocolates, you were going chocolate to chocolate for the most part. Well, nobody paid attention to bloodlines. But now, you know, now you can get just as good a chocolate as any other color. But regardless of what you're going to get, black, yellow, or chocolate, you got to know what you're looking for on those pedigrees. You know, I don't buy that now. I mean, nowadays there's too much of a selection out there, but you still need to know what you're looking for bloodlines-wise.
Well, that's kind of what I expected to hear, and I appreciate you clearing that up for us. Tom, it's time for you to sit down on the Smoke and Text hot seat. I'm going to ask you a rapid-fire series of questions, and you respond with the first thing that comes to your mind.
All right.
A training session should last no longer than...
Depends on the dog.
True or false? Chessies are the most stubborn of all gun dog breeds.
Might be the softest.
A dog should not be hunted in weather that is colder than...
I would say neoprene vest. You got to use your judgment.
Or sent into water that is colder than...
Hey, if it's half inch thick ice, you can't go. I've seen them go in, you know, slush, but you got to use common sense.
True or false? A quote, gun shy dog can still be turned into a good hunting dog.
Maybe.
A hunting dog should never be hunted hard, blank number of days in a row.
Up to the dog.
A finished dog should be trained in the off season. How many days a week?
2 to 3.
Favorite place you ever hunted?
Alberta, Canada. Oh, Argentina.
All right, Tom, you are now off the Smoke and Text hot seat. So about how many days a year do you actually get to go out and enjoy your passion, which is hunting?
About 90. You know, it's not our busiest time of year because most of our clients have their dogs. I mean, even though we're training some dogs, but that's the neat part about it is that I can still enjoy that end of it. It's not our busy time, so I'm a lucky man.
So how many hunting dogs do you actually own that are your personal hunting buddies?
Yeah, between my wife and myself, we each have one right now, and that's because they're you know, 4 or 5 years old. But next year we'll add another one to the family that will gradually replace the dog that she's got now. And the year after that, I'll start my next one. So at any given time, we'll have either two or we'll have four. That's pretty much a given.
What is something that a good hunting dog does that never ceases to amaze you?
You know, I would have to think, and I think a lot of people would think this way, is chasing down a cripple in big water and ending up coming with the prize. I don't think from a duck hunter standpoint there's anything more exciting than to watch that dog work and work, and the duck dives, it comes up, and he has to relocate and ends up coming up with it. You know, that's one of those deals, if you got somebody hunting with you, you're after the dog, you know, he gets it, you know, and you're just cheering for him, and you're high-fiving once the dog comes up with it. It's kind of like the Grand Slam.
Oh, I agree, man. That is a thrilling moment when the dog comes back with that duck. Tom, let's shift gears here and talk about the Dachshund Deadfowl Retriever, something that you introduced into the industry. I've had one for about 6 years. Didn't even know that you were responsible for the design until a few days ago. Tell us about the Deadfowl Trainer. How did you come up with the design, and what makes it so unique?
You're always looking for giving yourself that little extra edge when you're training. And one thing I noticed when we were working with young dogs, young pups, and we were using, you know, ducks for training, is that a lot of times those young dogs would go and they'd grab the easiest part on the duck because they've got smaller mouths, you know, like 4 or 5 month old puppy, they grab it by the neck and bring it back. And I really wanted to teach them, you know, get a body hold, because that's so important for good retrieving. And, you know, having a bad hold on a bird, then they're wanting to drop a lot and not bring it in. So I started messing around with different concepts. And I know that a dog, if he has a preference, he'll always take something softer in his mouth versus something hard, you know, if he has that option, you know, but very durable foam body. But, you know, you know, because you've got one, the legs on it are hard plastic and the head is hard. And you throw it out there, and after two retrieves, the dog will look at both ends to pick it up at both ends where it's hard, and they'll just naturally go right to the center. So you got a good hold. And then also that head, you notice how the head flops around.
Mm-hmm.
If the dog carries that bird properly, that head will just stay to the side and stay out of the way. If he ever gets it and wants to shake it and be aggressive, we were talking about that mouthing thing,
mm-hmm.
as soon as he goes to shake it, that head will come over and wrap him on the snout. So he'll actually discipline himself for retrieving wrong. So, you know, thinking about that, if you throw a dummy and every time the dog picks it up, he always picks it up in the center, carries it properly, and never shakes it and gets hard on it. I mean, you have a dummy that's actually working for you, and I don't have to take care of those problems. And then, you know, after we designed the mallard first, then we wanted something for the little guys, so then we came up with our teal. And we have, you know, lots of different birds now, you know, lots of different species, pheasants, grouse, quail. So we have it not only for the retrievers, but for the bird dog people. And then our goose. And every one of these is built on the function of hard legs, hard head, to encourage that. And then I also wanted a dummy that I could inject the scent into the body,
mm-hmm.
so the scent would always stay in there, so I didn't have to keep rubbing it around. So we have an injector kit that you actually inject the scent in the body. So once you've scented it, it's there for a lifetime. So, and we just built the first ones for ourselves, and we go, you know what, this thing works. And you know, you got to get lucky sometimes, and it's really been a fun project. It's fun to hear back from the people that use them, and more importantly, people come up and say, "I love your dummy," and I go, "Yeah, but what about your dog?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, you know, he won't go anywhere unless we have that dummy." And that's really fun to hear, and it's fun to be able to contribute something, you know, to the sport too.
Do yourself a favor. I know I picked mine up at, I believe, PetSmart, but you can go to www.deadfowltrainer.com to take a look at the inventory and pick one out for you and your hunting buddy. Well, Tom, next weekend, the DU Sporting Expo right here in North Texas at the Gaylord Texan. You're going to be there doing a seminar each day. I'll be there in the PA booth. Man, I am really looking forward to meeting you.
I'm fired up. I can't wait to get down there. And, you know, I'm still like a kid in a candy store when I go to these events, because there's lots of things that I'm interested in as well as the dog. So I'm anxious to come down there. We're going to see a lot of old friends that are in the business. So I'm really excited to get down and meet the good people of Texas again.
Well, we're looking forward to having you down. Thanks again for stopping by this morning.
Thanks a lot, Cable.
Well, I enjoyed that chat with Tom, and I hope to see all of you guys out at the DU Sporting Expo next weekend. We are out of time for today. Next week, we're planning on having Willie the Buck Commander Robertson, the son of the Duck Commander, who we've had on the show before. And if we're lucky, we may even have his brother Jace on at the same time. So you're not going to want to miss that. Thanks to our military for their service. Thanks to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith, saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
And those are Williams boys, they still mean a lot to me. Hank in Tennessee, I guess we're all gonna be.